TV Corner.
Hey guys, it's been a while, but welcome back to another Film Core TV Corner podcast. We're back with Westworld, Season 2, Episode 1, Journey into the Night. With me, I have Lulu returning.
Yo.
And for the first time ever, I have Peter Campbell hopping on in place of TJ.
I'm a replacement.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like we waited forever for Season 2. Season 1 was awesome, so I feel like they had pretty big shoes to fill this season.
Definitely.
Catching us back up to speed. It's been 2 weeks since the massacre in the Westworld theme park, and the Delos Corp is eager to clean up and cover up the mess. This episode definitely served more as just kind of a who is where kind of Kickstarter than anything really happening, but not mad about it. What were you guys' first thoughts on this?
I liked it. I thought it was just sort of a recap episode. That, but it also like raised a few new questions, like what happens to Charlotte, you know, and or Teddy, like die.
The thing that I just kept thinking about after I finished the episode was like this term for the structure of an episode that I learned while just like following Game of Thrones a lot, which is this term people throw around a lot called a table setting episode. And like, because Game of Thrones, like there are so many different plot lines that like some episodes, most of what happens is literally just like someone moves to a new location and there's a bunch of exposition and then we're doing this and then we're doing that. And then like an episode later is like the crazy shit. And like, I feel like this was all table setting. And like, to be honest, some of it lost me a little bit. I think that they dipped a little too far down into the Westworld, like, I don't know, kind of shtick of like characters walking around and saying big important things that, you know, you're not really quite sure what they mean. Like, there wasn't really anything that I was like, oh, fuck, even though like I felt like I should have felt that way at certain parts, right? Like that little effect.
Yeah.
it flickers and then it's in the past.
Which I feel like it's, even when we know that it's in the past, it's still confusing enough.
Yeah,
like in some ways I kind of wish they would just tell the story.
Yeah.
And maybe not make us go back and forth so much.
I was definitely
confused the first run through. I had to go through again.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would have just benefited from us just kicking off from when they're still attacking the visitors of the park, rather than us get a confusing jump where we're trying to figure out what's happening, who's where.
Yeah,
I know they want us to do some work mentally, but it's already got a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of.
I feel like that.
Oh no, I was gonna say yeah. There was a lot of like. Need for paying attention. Like if you just miss one little scene, you know, you miss this book, like big question. Like,
yeah. Like I was a little tired this morning as I was watching the episode and I was a little bit spacey. And like, I just read a recap of it and basically any scene between Charlotte and Bernard, I like completely missed. Just like, wait, Peter Abernathy, who the fuck is that? And like went back and rewatched and like, there's a lot of exposition in that scene, like in any scene with both of them. So yeah, you really got to pay attention, which is fine. But like, you know.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a question about that whole part of where Bernard was sort of having low blood sugar. I don't know how to describe
it. Oh, so if you remember very briefly in the flashback, he actually got hit his head and damaged his cerebral region.
Oh, okay.
Very early on. So he was low-key, like, hardcore concussed.
Okay.
And so when he went to Charlotte's little underground bunker, that's when he realized, like, oh, shit, I'm real fucked up. I got to steal some of this blood serum stuff.
Mm-hmm. That white goo.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I feel like we never saw in the first season, right? Like, it was just, like, normal blood. I don't know. Is that just me?
It's cortical fluid.
Oh.
So, something from their brain. Because it's...
Okay.
His brain cavity is leaking.
Speaking of Bernard, so the Delos Corp and the other workers in the park don't know that he's a robot like we do.
The way I interpreted it, I thought he was more like, oh, look what they're doing to my people, you know, like my robots.
Yeah, that's definitely how I felt like he going in this. Like, he's like fucked, traumatized from like seeing all this.
Yeah,
shit.
This is like genocide, you know, like he's like witnessing and then also having to like keep a secret. So I don't know. Yeah, I thought like the main emotional layer was this sort of like him viewing his like children, you know, being murdered and doing the murdering.
What do you guys have any predictions for what's going to happen when they actually find out that he's a host? I mean, they've got to at this point if they've already set it up to where he's undercover as a human, essentially.
I feel like that the person that's most, I mean, this isn't even like a big thing to predict, but I feel like, can we agree that probably the first person to figure this out is going to be Charlotte?
Oh, totally. She's going to die. That's what killed her. I bet on you. On that.
Yeah, that, I mean, honestly, I was surprised that he got through the security compound when he had to, like, check for DNA. I was like,
Okay, wait. So, like, hang on. Charlotte, maybe I'm forgetting some shit about her from the first season, and I probably am. But, like, how is it possible that she has a bunker that Bernard doesn't know about?
We know that she works for Delos Corp and has been there as sort of a spy, just kind of checking on the operations with the board, you know, because they've been losing a lot of money in the park.
Yeah.
So it can be assumed that maybe she had access to resources. And Bernard, you remember, is a copy. So
he probably is restricted to some information.
Yeah, but I'll write it off as the park is massive, to be fair, and it's on the outskirts. It's not really in a road frequently traveled. So
yeah.
It's secret for a reason.
What does Delos want, right?
I think by the callback to wanting Peter Abernathy, he's the first host to their knowledge that really sort of gained its own sort of consciousness and sentience. They kind of want to see where the glitch happened, where he started to kind of make his own choices and maybe backtrack from there.
It's just crazy that they're willing to kill all of those people to get one robot.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm sure people signed a bunch of waivers once they got there. They can't sue.
It's gotta be some crazy shit on that host. Which, by the way, speaking of all of that, when he comes back and he's like, "Are we extracting the experiences of the host?" And like, did anyone else just like instantly get triggered and think of like Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that was, like, I mean, they must have written this, like, a year and a half ago, so it's, like, not, like, actually based on it, but it's definitely a very relevant thing, and he's, like, he has the exact reaction of, like, everyone that found out about Facebook all of our souls.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, Oh no.
You mean you're mining my data? Yeah, that's so true.
They're literally like, this is like a fucking like parody of the Facebook thing. They're literally extracting the DNA and selling it.
Oh, wait. Actually, you just made me think of something. Maybe it isn't exactly that they want to mine the glitch in Peter Abernathy's memory. Maybe it has something to do with another person that maybe they stored information inside of him or something. Like, maybe it's just not as simple as... I think maybe they're covering their tracks in a different way or something.
Well, I think that... Hang on. I just rewatched these scenes, and I don't think that they actually say this, or at least I missed it, but it says... Charlotte sends an urgent request to Delos for rescue, but all she gets is the message, awaiting package. Her data mule, Mr. Abernathy, Dolores' father, who carried a copy of all the data on Westworld's guests, has not yet made it out. So apparently at some point they established that bit of information.
Wait, did we ever see that last season? I don't remember that at all.
I think it's just when she was on the computer screen.
But, I mean, did we ever see her put the information actually inside of him or anyone?
We don't know anything about that until, like, this episode.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I guess you could surmise that. But, I mean, for the most part, no one could gather that, like, that's exactly why they wanted him from that scene. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. Until I read this, like, recap, I had no idea what they were doing. But I rewatched it, and they do say his name, and they establish that he's a data mule. They just didn't, I don't remember them saying that he has a copy of all the data on Westworld's guests.
Especially because if you guys remember last season, there was a robot that was trying to escape to make it to a satellite signal. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah.
One of the tech people found him.
Who was like obsessed with the stars, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I remember him.
But it wasn't Peter Abernathy. I mean, maybe they picked him because he was decommissioned and thought no one would notice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, we did see Peter Abernathy, though. He was, like, pretty big in the first couple episodes, I feel like.
Well, despite all the chaos, there's one man who's finally found his calling, the Man in Black. How do we feel about him now that he's kind of an anti-hero at this point? I don't really know.
Yeah.
I guess he's the anti-hero because he's the only one who's going to save humanity, right? Like, he's team human.
Are we over him? Do we want to see this happen all over again? I feel like we saw him be like a badass last season. So do we need this again or what?
I don't know. I mean,
it's in his contract.
I am a little afraid of him becoming like Armani, we were just talking about this the other day, like characters in TV shows that like that stay in the cast just because they're in the cast and like they have to find something new for them to do that feels important. But like there's a huge danger of that not. Like we were talking about it in the case of the girlfriend and How to Make It in America. Like she's like important for like three episodes in the first season and then they just keep her going because like she's the only female character and like just keep giving her these plot lines and you're watching them like, why is this in this show? It doesn't make any. So I don't know if it's going to be, I doubt it'll be that bad, but like I do kind of worry that like we have a character whose plot arc is like pretty neatly tied up in the first one.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of just like, okay, we have a new adventure for him, but like, is it the most necessary adventure?
You know what's crazy? They're also adding the young actor who played the Men in Black. It's like, why do you even need him back? Like,
I guess we're flashbacking back again, but I, like Peter said, we already kind of neatly tied that into a bow where we understood his motive. We understand why he was a badass. I just felt like we were done.
Yeah.
And all that we need to be revealed about him had been revealed, and now I honestly don't care.
I think that we should be aware that, like, I mean, you guys watched the teaser for the next episode.
I didn't. Right? No.
I didn't either, actually.
I didn't even think.
Oh, shit. Okay, because, like, if you just watch that, I think we should all prepare for the fact that we have no idea how much flashing back is actually about to happen because the is definitely coming. Like, I don't know why he's there, but he's in the teaser for the next episode. Also, we see Maeve in a kimono.
Have you ever seen the movie?
No.
Oh, all right, cool. In the movie, they jump eras. You know, they like go to different times, like medieval time, cowboy time.
So the park is actually not just Westworld. It's like a bunch of other worlds.
Yeah, so I think to see.
Which I think is what the tiger was kind of a teaser for, that other parts of hosts in other parts of the entire theme park are escaping and bleeding into other areas. There might be some actual Game of Thrones like nods in the medieval
park.
Oh
yeah, I remember that.
We talk about like how this season has basically just like announced that the sea is important. Like there's like five or six different scenes where people are either going to the sea or like talking about the sea. Like everyone is suddenly obsessed with the sea.
That no one knew existed until today.
Dolores are kind of like, they're all about the sea in the first season. But like, I don't know, just like Bernard's dreaming about the sea. And then there's, you know, the sea that he's washed up on that all of the security guys are coming up to. And then there's like the sea that Teddy and Dolores are looking out on. And then there's like, you know, the sea at the end. And then, yeah, there's just a lot of the sea. Clear that it's a symbol of some kind.
I mean, on a poetic kind of metaphorical, it sort of symbolizes freedom and the beyond.
Right.
I mean, we don't know what's on the other side of it either. know, if it represents the world, you know, once you make it to the sea, are you out into, you know, you're leaving the park.
So crazy how much is like, how much of it is like Truman Show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very Truman Show-y.
I mean, do you guys think that they will actually escape the park or, you know,
not out of it? Until third season.
I hope so. I hope they escape the park. Because I have always seen this show as like a more entertaining, like world building version of Ex Machina. I it was fine. I liked it, but like I thought that it could have gone a lot further. And like halfway through the first season, I was just like, oh, fuck yeah, they're going way further. And like, I want them to show us like what the ending of Ex Machina hints at, which is like what happens when the AI gets released into the world.
And in some ways I do want to see that, in some ways I don't. Yeah. I think that inherently what this kind of like AI themed or AI centered TV series, movies, whatever, they kind of always repeatedly ask the same questions about like, what is real? What does it mean to be alive? What is consciousness? And in some ways, I mean, is them assimilating into the real world going to ask any new questions? If not, then I don't know if I want to see it.
That's fair. They definitely like were beating us over the head with the, is this real? What is real? Like,
oh my God. Yes.
And the actually, dialogue I wrote down was a bit of a problem for me in this episode.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Yeah. I just remembered I wrote down this note where the architect, I cannot remember his name right now, was telling Maeve that your daughter is not real.
Oh, yeah, I remember that part.
And her reaction to that was, how can you tell me she's not real? You know, she's feeling all these motherly feelings. And I'm like, dude, the fact that you can't accept that that's not real means you're not real. Like, that's the reality of it. It's not your daughter. So you should be able to separate the two. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in some kind of crazy paradox, she's still, like, a slave to the system by still feeling attached to this other robot.
Yeah. I feel her on it, though. Like, I mean, she's like aware of the fact that she had a daughter that was programmed, but like the feelings to her
are real,
are as real as any other feelings that she's having. And she was also made. So like in her experience is that daughter matters. So like, I think
it's like she made a point by being like, how is your day real and not mine? You know, like they probably wake up the same way thinking that their lives are theirs, you know, and then all of a sudden they're not. It's like,
it's like because she can remember the feeling of having a daughter, that means that it's real to her. What I don't let, and yeah, totally. Absolutely. What I didn't like about that scene was literally everything about the delivery of that, like either from just like the dialogue of like it, like she's not real, blah blah blah, and then just like the weird ass, like very, I don't know, it feels very forced, this whole like sexual dominance thing of dude, like
making him strip.
I don't really understand what point any of that has, and it feels very forced and unnatural to their relationship. It kind of felt like fan fiction to me, like just not a great relationship based on
anything. You mean the other the Latino host, I can't remember his name.
No
the
interaction with the architect and her
There's like several interactions that lead me to believe that like they're probably gonna have a weird threesome at some point. Like, I don't know, I just, are they trying to do like a, you know, she was sexually dominated by all of these real humans and now she wants to sexually dominate other, I don't know. It just felt weird to me.
It's definitely going in that direction, you know, because she's been like raped, you know, while she was unconscious so many times by these humans. And I think that's her way of balancing the power. But I also agree with you. I think there's going to be like this gimp kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Where
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like we're just gonna see him next with like a chain ball like in his mouth and yeah. so yeah. But yeah, I
would be down if it was more like, I don't know. I hope it gets that extreme, to be honest, because right now it's just this weird, like, semi-flirtatious, semi-dominant fucking weird thing. It's like, I don't feel enough hate from her to believe that it's like complete dominance, and I don't feel enough like legitimate basis for any relationship to believe anything else. So I don't know. I don't like
it. Maybe it's part of her character design too. She was a brothel owner, so maybe it's like in her DNA to sexualize everything, even during hard times like these.
All right. Well, we're reaching the end of this cast. Do you guys have any predictions for next week?
I mean, I didn't see the trailer, so I'm going to go do that. So I have no predictions yet.
I hope that by next episode, Bernard is found out as a host. Because I don't want this. I'm over this. Let's get going.
So there's like 12 episodes per season, right?
Yeah. 10?
Okay. So I'm going to say he's going to be found out in like the fourth episode.
Oh my god, no, I can't take that. That's gonna be
keep it going for so long because Charlotte is going to die, and I think they're gonna try to stretch her appearance for as long as possible.
Oh, that's a good point. Like, that's when a we great find point. Out
Bernard,
yeah, because she's in the opening credits.
Yeah, I kind of like predict by the amount of like how much each actor's values are, you know, like Ed Harris. Yeah. I think he's going to probably like die very soon because they can't keep paying him.
That's exactly what they did to Anthony Hopkins. I'm like, there's no way that, they can keep
yeah,
pushing
we,
they
we
can't
knew
afford
from
it.
The get-go that he was gonna die. We're like, all right, like it was just a matter of how was he going to die. But
yeah, no, I mean, like it makes sense. It definitely sucks though, because like, I feel like, I don't know, without Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris is just kind of there. They were like, I love Ed Harris. Like every single thing about his performance is like awesome, but it's just kind of like, I don't know.
That's true.
Anthony.
Can I point out that I absolutely hated that little kid? Like, what's up with that? The little Anthony Hopkins kid that
we don't have to deal with him anymore. He's dead now.
I'm happy that happened, but
I wonder if Anthony Hopkins is just gonna like fucking inhabit random hosts and just like be a ghost Anthony for the rest of it.
Well, I mean, we don't know if we maybe might get him in a flashback, to be fair. So who knows?
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
No, because he can walk. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for jumping on this podcast with me. We'll be covering the rest of season 2 of Westworld. So you guys stick around for that. And we'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.